Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to a special fundraising edition of UBC Arts on Air. This is Ira Nadell, your host. And for the next 30 minutes, you're going to learn about the show, learn about its producers, and how you can help with your pledges tonight. And remember, tonight is the last night that you can still donate to CITR. Our goal is to earn $400 for our show, UBC Arts on Air, and it's time for you to call in to support us and CITR at 604-822-8648 or go online at citr.ca/donate. We need your support to continue and improve the fine programming on CITR 101.9. Now, to encourage you to contribute to UBC Arts on Air, we really do have some remarkable prizes, from a handmade wallet and keychain from Chile for the first person to call in with a $30 pledge, to a rare signed hardback copy of the first biography of Leonard Cohen by myself. And that's for a pledge of $101.90. And I'm sure you figured that out. That's 101.9. So don't wait. Call 604-822-8648 or go to the website right now, citr.ca/donate. Now, with me in the studio tonight are our two producers, Natalie Waters and Daisy Zhang.
Oh, it's Walters.
Walters. How do you like that? I do have it spelled correctly. They're both graduate students in journalism, and I really want to start off the show now by asking each of them how they got involved with journalism and gravitated to producing UBC Arts on Air. Natalie.
Well, I have always kind of had an interest in journalism. I did my undergrad in history, was always sort of interested in writing and exploring storytelling. And after I finished my undergrad, I thought, I'll try this out for real, and did a bit of freelance writing and found the UBC program and wanted to explore storytelling beyond just the written word. So I was interested in radio and video storytelling, broadcasting, and so the UBC program looked great, and I ended up there, and that program led me to Arts on Air. So,
I want to ask you, though, do you think that radio is a stronger medium for the voice, so to speak, when you're trying to tell a story rather than just print?
I love the audio storytelling format. I'm a big listener of podcasts, and I think that radio is really accessible. It's much more accessible than, or at least in my opinion, than, say, video. And not everyone is as attracted to, unfortunately, newspapers and print storytelling as much. And I think radio really can kind of just draw you in. It feels very intimate, and it's a good format for long-form storytelling as well. I listen to podcasts on my way to school, when I'm working out, when I'm going to and from places, so I'm a big fan.
Okay, Daisy, how did you get involved in journalism and end up to be one of the two wonderful producers of UBC Arts on Air?
Thank you, Ira. I've always dreamed of being a journalist, and I grew up in a city in central China, and I just loved watching TV and listening to radio, and I want to be the one who produces in the future. So I always had a dream, and I went to university to study broadcast journalism in China and intern for China Central Television. So I really went on that path, and I moved to Canada 3 years ago with my parents, and I thought, okay, my passion to journalism never stopped. It continued. So I came to UBC School of Journalism and just pursue it. I'm here.
I think it's wonderful. Do you think it has something to do, and it's a question for both of you, with the art of listening? In other words, people in a way tend to listen more, just the act of listening, than well, I have to say, reading or watching in the sense of, you know, I have to find a device if I'm going to look at a video or something of that sort. Do you think it's related to listening?
Yeah, totally. I think I grew up with radio. Like when I was doing my homework at home, I couldn't do homework and watch TV at the same time, but I could let the radio play and I feel like I wasn't alone. And I also could focus on my study and I really enjoyed it.
I'm not sure I could listen and do my homework. I don't seem to remember that. But lots of people do, and lots of people, of course, listen to music when they're working. Do you agree about listening?
I definitely think that listening, sort of the aspect of radio, of just sort of being able to hone in on the story because there's nothing else going on, you're just very focused on the words and the pictures that those paint for you, that definitely the act of listening is a huge draw to the radio medium.
Well, sure. I have to confess myself, when I'm doing something which isn't academic, and I do occasionally do non-academic things, I'm listening to the radio because it helps, whether you're following a recipe and preparing food or organizing your desk.
Yeah, I absolutely. When I'm getting ready in the morning, when I'm cooking, I like to listen to the radio, put on a podcast. It's a weird way of both focusing on the story, and then you can do the task that you're doing and then still be totally engaged with what's happening in the story.
And it's a nice feeling that the radio is playing when we're doing something. So it creates a nice environment that, oh, there are other people like over there at the same time, like with you. It's a very nice feeling.
And of course, we are speaking on CITR 101.9. It's the conclusion of the almost week of fundraising for the radio station. And this is your opportunity, all of our listeners, to call 604-822-8648 to make your pledge or to go online at citr.ca donate. This is a really important opportunity for everyone to support the station and to see that collectively we are all able to maintain the high level of programming and indeed to improve it, whether it's in terms of technical improvements or just the opportunities that the station provides for students and others to participate in really making first-class radio.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning that the station goal is $40,000, and the funds that were raised last year went to building the beautiful studio that we're sitting in right now in the new UBC Nest and the nice microphones and everything that we're using to create this radio station and all the other programs that we listen to on CITR. So
I think it's important also to note that we have windows in the studio, so everyone can come by and wave and hold up signs and, you know, make funny faces. So it's not as though you're actually removed and isolated from things that are happening here. So I want to remember to tell our listeners that we have prizes for $30, a handmade wallet from Chile, and for $101.90, a signed copy of Various Positions, A Life of Leonard Cohen, the best-selling biography that came out some time ago. Of course, Cohen is an internationally recognized singer born in Montreal with a following throughout Europe, throughout Asia. It's pretty astonishing. I was fortunate in spending some time with Leonard Cohen in writing this particular book, and I think we're going to need 2 hours for me to just touch on some of the adventures and the stories with him, including being in a recording studio with him in Hollywood. But, you know, you can't get studio time at 7 at night. It started at midnight.
Right.
And all we were doing is laying down a track for one of his songs, but we must have had 14 musicians in the studio, and they just loved being with Leonard because he is a consummate musician. Mm-hmm. And actually, we have a song from one of Leonard's albums. The song is First We Take Manhattan, which is a fabulous opportunity to hear that voice of Leonard Cohen. We'll be right back.
sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. I'm guided by a signal in the heavens. I'm guided by this birthmark on my skin. I'm guided by the beauty of our weapons. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
So that was just a taste of Leonard Cohen's First We Take Manhattan. And I think we want to bring attention to the fact that we are listening to CITR Radio on 101.9. And we are raising money for the station. The goal is $40,000. And if you could please call in and help us reach this goal, you can call at 604-822-8648. Or you can go online at citr.ca/donate. Our grand total thus far is $26,435.06. So we're getting there, but if you want to call in and help us, that would be great. I want to turn the attention to the show a little bit to the roots of where UBC Arts on Air came from. So we've been on air, or you've been on air rather, Ira, doing the show for about four and a half seasons.
Yeah, so it's four and a half seasons.
Yeah, but that's not where it started. It didn't originate on air. So take us back.
Take us back. Oh, my goodness. Well, it started when several people in the Faculty of Arts talked about improving communication, not within the university, but beyond the university. And so we started with something called Arts Beat, which was actually a kind of print, four-page, large-size kind of newspaper that focused on the Faculty of Arts, because this is a Faculty of Arts initiative. And we did feature stories on interesting students and interesting programs. And one of the critical things was an arts calendar that ran, really, it grew to be two of the four pages. So it was pretty significant. And that was good. But again, you had to distribute it, and it was a print item. So then we thought we could do better. And we initiated a series of lectures downtown at Robson Square. I think we did that for about 3 years. And so they would be on Wednesdays, sometimes at 12:30, but we shifted to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And we had wonderful response from the public, where the topics ranged from dogs, because we had in the Department of Psychology, Professor Stan Korn, a world expert on dogs, their intelligence, their behavior, their actions. And when he gave a talk, we had over 300 people and three dogs that attended the talk. And it was just wonderful. And you could tell people were responding and understanding to what does the Faculty of Arts do at the University of British Columbia. And I think it's very important to take us off campus, outside of Point Grey. And that's why Robson Square really proved to be the best venue.
And then how did we go from these lectures to the wide audience that we're reaching on the radio?
Well,
now,
I've always loved radio, and I will tell you the source of that love. My mother listened to soap operas on the radio.
Really? Mm.
And when I would come home for lunch, because we live close to school, we almost couldn't talk because we had a third party in the room, and that was two soap operas that played from 12 to 12:30 and then 12:30 to 1. And I remember it so clearly. One was called Helen Trent, and another was called Our Gal Sunday.
So
her first name was Sunday.
You've always had this love for the radio.
I've always wanted to be in a soap opera. So continuing with radio was the way, in fact, to do it. So further to the lectures, we were trying to discover other ways of kind of reaching out. And then with the good graces of CITR, we discussed the possibility of doing a show. And so it's evolved to UBC Arts on Air. And I quickly want to mention that the range of people that we profile have run from students and student clubs to the two recent presidents of the university, the Dean of Arts, and very interesting people. And I love to talk to people in the studio because they relax and they share things with you. I'm not so interested in what was the research that, you know, just led to your last book. I want to know, who are you and how did you become an economist or an expert on water? Or the head, we a couple of years ago interviewed the director of the UBC Gambling Addiction Center. The Department of Psychology has a gambling center. It's fascinating. These are wonderful people.
Yeah, you get some real candid moments. I think that's something that Daisy and I have both noticed in recording these interviews with you, is kind of listening to your question lines and seeing you sort of be able to pull out these interesting factoids and personal nuggets of information that you wouldn't expect to come out of these interviews with administrators, faculty, staff, all throughout the faculty.
Well, if there is any technique involved, I think what one tries to do is listen very carefully to what the person is saying and then try to find an unexpected avenue, an unexpected question that they haven't thought of. And one of those questions with one of the presidents I interviewed, I asked this person, if you were going to write your autobiography, where would it start? And he was so surprised.
Was he stumped?
Thought, no, but he never had been asked that question, and he had an excellent answer. He said it would start on the stage. And then he described his undergraduate love of theater and how he was an actor. And he, no one ever kind of, you know, asked him about that. So that's where you find the most natural answer and the most spontaneous and also, I have to say, unscripted. So that's a really important part of what I hope we are accomplishing, you know, in having these conversations.
And yeah. I hope we're piquing more people's interest about our show, because you can catch it every other Thursday at this time, 6 p.m. on Thursdays on CITR Radio 101.9, which is what you are tuned into right now. And we are raising money for the fund drive. $40,000 is the goal, and we're at just over $26,000. So help us reach that $40,000 goal, please.
And you can make that contribution by calling 604-822-8648 or go online at citr.ca/donate. Show your support. And we hope that you will continue to listen to the remarkable set of guests that we have lined up, ranging from psychology to music to geography, and the way in which we try to bring you, our listeners, into the program by having you as a presence and being able to listen to these interviews once they're finished in terms of the studio, because they are podcast and they are archived. UBC Arts on Air.
Every day, CITR signs up new members, teaches them how to use microphones, edit audio, write about music, and cover topics vital to our community. Not only are we training authentic media producers, but we're also growing future leaders. By supporting the 2016 Fund Drive, you will support training and development opportunities for our student members and the CITR community. Call 604-822-8648, 604-UBC-UNIT, or donate online at citr.ca/donate. Fund Drive 2016 is online and it's waiting for you. Head on over to citr.ca/donate to help us reach our goal of $40,000 to continue growing our local arts and music scenes in our diverse cultures. By donating, you'll receive awesome CITR prizes like notebooks, swag bags, LPs, and on-air shoutouts. It's all on now, but it won't be forever.
Back to UBC Arts on Air, Irene Adele, and with our two producers here. But I'm sure everyone is mystified. I certainly am. What does a producer do? So, Daisy, what does a producer really do?
I would say that it's a very big privilege to be the producer here, that we get to talk to so many people from arts department and get their ideas, their like researchers. And what we do is that at the beginning of every semester, I will sit down with Natalie and Ira, and we discuss a list of the guests we want to invite. Then we, after we confirm with them, we will do a pre-interview with the guests and send their background information and suggested questions to our host, Aaron Adele, and to better prepare for the interview. Then we tape the interview, edit it, and post it online. We also promote the show on Twitter and update our blog, Arts on Air, every other week.
What's the hardest part of being a producer?
I think the hardest part is to find the right person and ask the right question and hopefully get a great, great answer.
Okay. Would you agree with this?
I would agree with that. I'd say sometimes the hardest part is also, juggling all of our schedules. Sometimes I feel like you're always scheduling, no matter what you're doing, is always challenging. But to be a producer, you have to think about your schedule, Ira as the host, our schedules, the availability of the studio, the guests' availability. So sometimes just that little logistical part can be challenging. But doing the interviews and being in studio is an absolute joy.
How important is the research that you do, the kind of pre-interview?
It's really important. I hope you would back us up in this. I hope that we give you some good information to lead
us. You're fantastic, both of you.
But the pre-interview is really important. It gives you a sense of where the guest, their background, what they have to say, what's important to them, and can sort of help you give some guiding questions for you that we, then you kind of take wherever you want to take them. And whether you want to ask those questions or not, you have that information so you can sort of anticipate the answer that the guest might give, and then also how to, like you said, lead them in a new direction and give them something candid.
I think another important part of the pre-interview is that it permits the guest to prepare.
Definitely.
Yes.
And to think, oh, I am going to be asked a variety of questions here. And many of our guests have never been in a radio studio before. So many are nervous. Many think they're going to the dentist. But we try to calm them down.
Yes. And we also want to prepare you for the interview as well. Like the questions you ask in the interview are not necessarily the questions we prepare for you. But with the information, you can just come up with better questions. And after you know the guests better, you can just always give us more surprises during the interview.
I think that's absolutely true. Now, speaking of surprises, both of you have just returned from Chile on a kind of journalistic adventure. Can you say something about this and your reaction to Chile? First of all, how long were you there?
It was 10 days. Yeah. Almost 10 days.
Your first time?
Yes, it was my first time to go to South America, and it was amazing. And my job was to be in charge of the audio for the virtual reality video. This is a new experiment we're doing. And so the audio, the mic I was doing is not like the mic in the studio we're using right now. It's a 360 mic, and it has six channels which capture the sound from six different directions. So when I was recording sound with that recorder, it was amazing how beautiful the sound was, and I knew that it was it just came from the world, and how nice it was caught in the nice country. And I really appreciate radio even more, that it can capture so much nice sound and share it with people.
That's fantastic. And what was your responsibility, Natalie?
I was the producer, so a little bit of background. Daisy and I are both master's students in the UBC journalism program, and we're in the international reporting program. So it's a program that gives young journalists the opportunity to tell underreported stories internationally. And so we went to Chile to film a documentary. And like Daisy said, it had both a virtual reality component and then a traditional 2D documentary style. So my job was the producer. And so that meant organizing everything from accommodation and flights and drivers to tracking expenses, making sure we were getting to where we needed to be on time, and making sure everybody had what they needed to do their job properly. And also working with characters to make sure they were comfortable and there was an understanding of why we were there and what we were trying to accomplish and just being really transparent with everybody. So,
how many people were there altogether from the UBC journalism program that went?
Students, there were 9 of us. We were split into 2 teams, so we went across the whole country. One team went north and one team went south, so Daisy and I were both on the same team with 3 other students, and we went to Santiago and Temuco, which is in the south.
It sounds fabulous.
And we also work with a journalist and one host from The Vice, which is a very good opportunity for us to learn from those experienced journalists.
I think it's wonderful. Did you get a sense of journalism in Chile? How stories are written, covered, what's done, what's not done?
Well, we worked with 2 local journalists who were our fixers, which we absolutely needed them. They were an asset on the ground for just language and working with characters. And through them, I think we got a small window into how journalism is conducted in Chile. But it was a very international project. I mean, both the diversity of the students that went there, also that we were doing it in South America with local Chilean journalists, that we were working with a Mexican-American host, and then a Canadian from an American news organization, and it was just a very multicultural experience.
It sounds absolutely spectacular, and I'd like to go on that.
Maybe there'll
be an opportunity. I want to remind our listeners that this is, of course, the end of the fun drive this evening. The phones are open until 9:30 for CITR 101.9. We are actually up to $26,445 at the moment, but we'd like to get way beyond that. So this is your opportunity to call 604-822-8648. Or donate online at citr.ca/donate.
And we have had a few people donate online. I want to give a quick shout out to my parents, Susie and Fred Walters. Thank you for donating. And to my uncle, Tim Walters. Also, thank you for donating. Every little bit counts.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to my boyfriend, Oliver King, for donating and supporting our work. Yeah, thank everyone who has been listening to us on air and who has been supporting us. Your support is very important for us.
And I want to thank both of you for providing such wonderful material, not just this evening, but of course throughout the past year plus, and look forward to further wonderful programming as we sort of move into the second half of this particular term. Again, you're listening to UBC Arts on Air, CITR 101.9.
Be wrong. You see, I hear these funny voices in the Tower of Song. I see you standing on the other side. I don't know how the river got so wide. I loved you, baby, way back when. And all the bridges are burning that we might have crossed, but I feel so close to everything that we lost. We'll never have to lose it again. Now I bid you farewell, I don't know when I'll be back. They're moving us tomorrow to that tower down the track, but you'll be hearing.
Leonard Cohen, one of the 2 wonderful prizes tonight for UBC Arts on Air. Please donate. Call 604-822-8648 or donate online, citr.ca/donate. And keep listening. Coming up, Peanut Butter and Jams, a wonderful show focusing on local music and local food. Again, I want to thank Daisy and Natalie for joining me, Ira Nadell, in the studio live with UBC Arts on Air. And stay tuned for more wonderful guests, always fascinating profiles on our particular show, UBC Arts on Air.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ira.
And I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming on. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song.